You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulolo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with Jeannie Sue on the Brunt Zone. I will be chatting to Jerry Elton from Jerry's Plumbing. Good morning, Jerry, and welcome to Zone Radio, the voice of our valley.
Morning, Jeannie Sue. Thanks for having me on board.
Yes, and thank you for braving the weather, because I think this kind of weather keeps you quite busy, does it not?
Yes, yeah, it's... We've really had some crazy rain this last week.
Yes.
And talking about plumbing, that's all to do with water.
Exactly. And so tell us a bit about yourself.
I started plumbing in 1978. Grew up in Rhodesia, went to Northern Rhodesia, which became Zambia.
Yes.
Started plumbing there. Moved to Johannesburg in 1982, and then started my own business in 1987.
That's a long time.
So a long time. So I'm getting one now.
Yes.
I know, time flies when you're having fun.
So Jerry, what made you go into plumbing?
I actually started my apprenticeship as a printer. And I did a two-year apprenticeship and started as a printer. And I thought, nah, this is not for me.
And that's quite a difference. That is a difference.
Yes, it is a vast difference.
Yes.
And then I went into plumbing. It was a five-year apprenticeship. And then I never looked back. I really enjoyed it. Plumbing is a nice profession to get into. And I'll talk a little bit about that just now.
Yes.
But what happened quite a few years ago, I went to Jordan, and there was this village called Petra. And the civilization operated 300 years B.C. And they had the wisdom of water. So they used to take water from the mountains of the soapstone mountains and channel it 20 to 30 kilometers away into their village, into water wells, which would provide water for the community, crops, feed their civilization. So water is a very, very important aspect. There's actually two things in this universe, is water and oxygen.
Yes.
And water is one of those items that really, really we got to look after. And we're very lucky because we're a water-based planet.
Yes, we are.
So we've got a lot of water on this planet. We've got the oceans. We've got a lot of rainfalls. We've had a little bit of a problem recent because we've had fires in the south.
Yes.
And this is... caused a problem with the soil, and then now with the heavy rains that we've had, we're getting mudslides and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, we are.
So water can be good and water can be bad.
All right.
But we do need water for every industry. You can't even make paint without water. So painters need water. Bottling companies need water. Factories need water. And the whole aspect of water is... with plumbing, is you've got to provide water into households.
Yes.
And get the sewage out of the households.
And that's what I would like you to break down, because, you know, every household, you, as you said, you need water, and you get leaking taps, you get burst. It's an everyday issue in a normal household, isn't it? So, I mean, you have leaks.
Yeah, you do have leaks. It's maintenance. You got to actually have a look at keep an eye on leaking taps and stuff
and
like that.
And that's a menace,
leaking pipes.
Yeah. So, Jerry, break down for us, and I know a leaking tap, it might be a simple job, but break it down. What does one do? I mean, and this is for a normal household. We've got a leaking tap, which we'll get hold of, and you need to come and check it out for us, please. So, it's not, I mean, it's not just the fact of, need to replace. Sometimes it is a washer. Sometimes it's more serious. So could you break that down for us? You know, like a leaking tap, what would we do?
Well, leaking taps could be maybe the washer has just corroded through time. You get a seating in a tap that actually corrodes, then you've got to replace the whole tap. That has to be changed. There are special tools that you can get. It's called a reseating tool that you can reseat the base of the tap.
Yes.
Where you get a little nicking at the water, actually wears it away through time and change it that way. But yeah, it's just keeping an eye on stuff, you know, keeping an eye on things, make sure you're not wasting that water with leaking loos. Yeah,
because it happens. And then let's talk, well, funny enough, from the tap, let's go over to the loos with that running water, when the water is running.
Yeah.
You know, how do you get that right?
I haven't got any sound.
Oh, all right. Let's see. Is it all right there?
Yeah.
Sorry about this. We just got a sound.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a tick there. Yeah, no,
we just had a little technical. just put this here by your ear and just turn it because that's
back. Yeah, no, we're back on.
All right, we're back on track. So let's talk. So now we go to a geezer.
Yeah.
And there are issues with geezers and running toilets. So and that happens often. So what do you do in that case for a running toilet?
Well, mostly you've got to better wash toilets. In the early days, you used to have bell system toilets. And they used to say to you, I don't know if you remember, pull the chain.
Yes, pull the chain.
Pull the chain.
You don't do that anymore.
No, you don't do that anymore. So we used to have those high-rise cast iron cisterns with a chain on it. And you used to give it a yank and then it used to flush.
Yes.
But things have changed. They've got more technical and advanced systems now. So normally it's just a little washer, a rubber washer that corrodes through time. And it could be the ball valve washer that actually supplies the toilet that wears out. Those have got to be replaced from time to time.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, Jerry, I want to now renovate my bathroom, and obviously, you know, bath has come out and a complete renovation.
Hmm.
So before the building even gets started, this is where you come in, because changing, you've got to change.
Yeah, well, how that operates is we come in, we strip the bathroom, we take out all the sandware, chase the walls, put in new water supply, new water pipes in, and then the tilers come in, retile, and then we refit the sanitary ware in and get it all up and running with your hot and cold water.
So you're hand in hand with the builder anyway?
Yeah, we hand in hand with the builder. Yeah. So we come in certain stages of the development of a bathroom.
Yes. Because you mentioned chasing now, so can you break that down for us? Chasing.
chasing is where you're chasing a wall and you're putting the water pipe in the wall to the points where you're supplying a basin or a bath or a shower and then fitting the mixers in place and then the sewer lines all in place.
So that's quite a big job.
It can be, but it's made a lot easier nowadays. I remember in the early days we used to work with galvanized pipes.
Yes.
And cast iron pipes. And we used to use bitumen rope that we had to cork round the vent pipes and then pour lead round them. We used to have lead connectors on the basins. It was all galvanized pipes, so it was all hand-dyed piping. So it was quite a strenuous sort of job being a plumber. It wasn't, it took a bit of a PT.
Yes. So what pipes do they use now?
Well, now we've moved a couple of thousand years ahead of time, from the early days of Petra. And things have evolved and it's got a lot easier. So we're using PVC piping. We use copper piping, which speeds up the installation periods. If I remember going back to do a house would take us about a month and a half.
Really?
On galvanized piping, yeah. And sewer lines. Sewer lines were earthenware pipes that were only a meter long.
Yes.
And nowadays you've got 6 meter length PVC pipes. So everything's a lot easier, a lot lighter. But that's what we are. I mean, we humans, we make things better, easier to operate with.
So now I'm going to ask you another question. Now, when you've come and you've done the chasing, and obviously this is now before the builder actually even does the tiling now. Yeah. So it's already tiled and there is a leak and you've got to remove that.
No, we don't do that.
Don't you do that.
But what we do is we plug off the pipes.
Okay.
And we leave them under pressure.
And why would you do that?
So there's no leaks.
Okay.
So that's what we do, so before the tiling goes down, what we do is we plug the pipes, we keep them under pressure. So we keep water in the system.
Okay.
And then the tile is tile.
All right.
And then that, we know it's 100% no leaks. Because what can happen sometimes, and also what the thing to do is mark where the pipes are coming down walls.
I think that is very important.
Because people put up mirrors, shower doors, you drill through the pipe.
And then you've got
a problem. And the next thing you've got a burst pipe. Then you've got to chop the top.
Okay, so that's actually a very important tip.
Yes.
Mark
exactly where the pipes are going. Make a little sketch. You can even take a photograph nowadays with cell phones to say, this is the area of the pipes. When the guys come in to put the tiles, guys, be careful. That's where the pipes are. That's where they're located in that area so that you don't have any mishaps.
Well, that's a good tip.
Mm.
That's a very good tip. And I know a normal person, I suggest, don't fiddle with something you don't know what to do. Rather call out a plumber because it could cause more serious issues. Get it?
Well, it can do. You know, it's easy changing a tap washer or stuff like that. I mean, most people can do that.
Well, it's easy but for it's a plumber to say that.
Yeah, it's like me saying jumping in a 747 and say fly the plane. I'm not going to do it.
Yes, very true.
You've got to know what you do.
Yes.
But when it comes to drainage and stuff like that, you've got to have wastewater going into.
Yeah.
And that's why the councils lay on everything. To housing developments, factories, sewage plants. So all of these pipes are underneath the roads and then supply water to areas to operate for factories, housing.
And let's go talk. Now you mentioned drains. Let's talk about block drains. And this is the household.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, now, besides taking a plunger, and you, what do you pull down? And this is a more serious blocked drain. What would you do? What would you suggest to us to do?
Well, blocked drains have changed. The drain aspect of we used to rod drains in the early days. We had a meter and a half drain rods that we used to all connect up and then plunge them in a little corkscrew on the end. That's changed now. Through development.
Yes. Yeah, so what
now? Now you've got little rotors, cutters that go down the line, scrape the pipes. You have water jetting that actually goes down the line, sprays back, cleans the obstruction, especially when you've got sand, sludge. So that's been a help. It's okay to use a plunger, like on a sink trap or something like that. I wouldn't recommend throwing acid down drains because, especially in some of the older houses, you've got galvanized piping.
Still
that still stands the test of time to today.
Okay.
And acid can corrode the joints of that pipe, and then they leak in the wall. And it's okay with PVC, you know, with the more modern stuff, but. But yeah, yeah. It's...
So you don't suggest throw the acid?
No. No. I can give another little tip, but then the plumbers are not going to be busy.
Oh, well, give as many tips as you can, because, you know, for our DIY households, sometimes it's good to hear the
yeah,
tips.
Well, there is a little tip that you can do. If you've got a little bit of chlorine, granular chlorine,
yes,
you pour it just a little bit down yes. the waste, run some water through. That breaks up all the fats and sludge and will wash it through. And then also you don't have the smell.
That actually makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's a simple thing to do.
That's another
yeah.
very good tip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Jerry, getting to a geyser now, what do we look? What should we look out for? A burst that your geyser is going to burst, or you know, because sometimes you have that water dripping and drain, but you don't know what to do. Some have a drip tray, some don't. Mm. What do you? Well, now, what do we look out for?
Well, nowadays geysers have changed. In the early days, we used to have combination geysers.
What is that?
A combination geyser is a geyser with a tank on it, like a cistern tank.
Yes.
And your pressure was derived from the height of the geyser in the roof to the outlet. So that determined your water pressure on meterage. Nowadays, we're running on high-pressure geysers that run on 4-bar, 6-bar. They have to have a little bit more advanced. You've got more pressure. It comes in handy when you've got fancy mixers, lever mixers. It's got to be balanced pressure as well, so that you don't get the cold water overriding the hot water pressure.
Okay.
So you balance the system, your hot water and your cold water.
How does one do that?
You balance it by, on your geyser, where you're going in with your KPA control valve into the system, you also balance the cold water system at that point.
Okay.
And then take it to the points of your mixers, so that when you turn a hot and cold tap on, it's equal pressure going through to the mixer, so you're not getting overridden by, you know, you're getting scorched and you're adjusting the cold,
cold
and then
and
you're
hot.
Freezing and then you're jumping out and then you know, yeah.
So and that does happen.
Yeah, that does happen, yeah. So,
and do they come with a drip tray?
You've got to have a drip tray now, yes. And then there is a temperature relief valve on the geysers in case of a thermostatic malfunction. That's a safety thing that creates the geyser not to rupture.
Yes.
So and then it'll shoot the hot water out and protect the cylinder. We used to put in a lot of geysers.
Because I know a lot of, I mean, it does cause quite an issue in your household if a geyser bursts. I mean,
well,
it floods your house out. So yes, that's important.
It is important, but if you get a bad rupture, you know, your drip tray is not really going to hold it.
Yes.
Because you only got a 50-mil outlet running. But if you normally have a look at your house and you'll see a 50-mil pipe sticking out from under the eaves, that is the pipe that comes from your tray under okay. the geyser. If you notice water dripping out of
yes,
that tray,
that's what I want to ask you.
Then it's giving you sure warning that there's a fault on the geyser. It's either ruptured the cylinder, so then get up, have a look.
So how often,
turn
I mean, if someone should, you should actually then get up and check all these things twice a year maybe, because it can.
Yes, I'd say, yeah, once a year.
Once a year,
once
yeah.
a year. There is an anode also in the geyser that you actually got to replace every 2 years for the waters.
Must that get replaced?
Yeah, it extends the life of the geyser.
All right, so what is that called?
An anode.
Anode. Okay.
Yeah. That extends the life of the geyser. But a geyser is something out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of people will just turn on a tap and they don't think about the geyser in the roof.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that just keep on going.
I think many of us don't. We just, you know, we turn on taps and water comes out and we're
That's
happy.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. We don't worry. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that thing's got to operate, and it has to be serviced.
Yes.
So you've got to look at your thermostats, you've got to look at your elements, You've got to look at your TP valves. And if you maintain those sort of things, then they last.
Yeah. Now, do you charge for call-outs, Jerry?
Yes, most plumbers charge for call-outs, you know, to come out and have a look. And
All right. And then you also, well, I know now a CSC has to be provided with everything now.
Yes.
So you do as
well,
you provide.
Yes, you do CSCs. Yeah. If you're doing an installation, new installation, it's a safety thing.
And then I believe you're semi-retired and you've gone into something else.
Oh, yes, yeah, well.
Also related to water.
Yeah, also related. I actually ran the business for since 1987 and then retired, semi-retired.
Yes.
In 1921. But I'm starting to put in under sink geysers now, under sink water filter purification things to give quality of water.
So let us know all about that yet before we say goodbye.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, there's a 5-stage system that. There's a 5-stage system that we put under sinks. That purify the water, which is good for health.
Yes.
So we're getting good water coming through, you know, for a person's consumption that you could use for cooking and
So what
drinking.
Is that? What is that one called? Five.
Five stage. So it goes through five filters and then puts minerals back into the water.
So how many?
So it removes chlorines and.
Oh, and then how many bottles do you have? Is it just one big
bottle? It's one unit, but there's five stages in it. There's five filters. It's a thing to do in the future because we've got to look after our water, especially if you want health, you know.
Yes. What made you go into that?
I've been drinking filtered water for years.
Yes.
So, you know, and it's actually good for you. It's really good for you. And the quality of water can change at any time. Yes.
And a question, are you very busy putting these in?
Yeah, we've got a few on the go. Yeah, okay. We've got a few on the go.
So, Jerry, is there anything else you want to share with us before we say ciao, ciao?
Well, if you ever want, if you want me to put in a water filter for you, I can give you my number. It's 082-447-9355. I'll repeat that again. 082-447-9355.
We actually have a question for you. Good morning, Rob. How's it? And thank you. He says, on the top of the geyser, on the hot water outlet pipe, there is what looks like a pressure relief valve with a curled nut on top. Then he says, it looks like a pressure relief valve, but you can also turn the knob on top. So he says, as far as he can see, it is not adjustable. It is almost like it's a device to lift the seat for a second or two to clear it. Is he correct?
Rob, those are vacuum breakers, and on geysers now you're putting a vacuum breaker on your cold supply and your hot supply, and they've got to be 300 millimeters from the top of the geyser in parallel.
Right.
And what that does is it prevents anti-siphoning on a geyser. So let's just say the council have got a burst pipe on a main water supply coming in. If you do not have those on your geyser, you will anti-siphon the hot water out of the system. It'll go back into the ground at that burst pipe, and you'll burn your element out. So that's a safety feature that protects the geyser.
It's just like a vacuum breaker.
It's a vacuum. Yeah. They call vacuum breakers.
Well, there we go, Rob. Yeah. I hope that answers your question, and you were correct. So, Jerry, thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge and your expertise with us.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah.
And and just be safe out there.
And have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive. Sunnydale.